the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everyone, to today's Lifetime Planning Show. Today, we're going to discuss how to retire and not outlive your assets, because we believe, and this is something we've been discussing for quite some time now here on Financial Sense News Hour, that we're likely heading into a more difficult decade when it comes to the investment landscape that we're facing, not just with higher interest rates, but also with higher inflation and a more volatile market, somewhat similar to what we saw in the 1966 to 1982 time period, where stocks essentially went nowhere for a decade and a half. So, Jim, let's start off talking about some of the things that you're looking at from a demographic perspective in particular.
Yeah, when you take a look at what's done in financial planning and what is recommended to a client to set themselves up for retirement. So when you're in your working career, you know, they recommend a 60-40 split, 60% equities, 40% in fixed income. And especially if you're age 50 and older prior to getting ready for retirement, because you don't want to experience what could ruin your retirement. And that's called sequence risk. Imagine what would happen if you began your retirement and began withdrawal in a period that, let's say, we went through a bear market, as we did from 2000, 2002, as we went from 2007 to 2009, as we went through a short period of time in 2020 with the lockdowns, and what I believe will be another period like what we just experienced last year, where you had the S&P down 20%, you had the NASDAQ down over 33%. And Chris, when somebody gets ready to retire, they flip, or the advice is given, you flip the 60-40 portfolio from 60% stocks to 60% bonds. In fact, some people say you should have a percentage of your bonds equal to your age. So if you're age 70, you should be 70% in fixed income. The problem you have with that is not only bear markets, which we go through, but also inflation. And I want to give you an example. Let's suppose the year's 2000, and you've accumulated $2 million worth of assets in a retirement plan. And we're seeing plans even bigger than that today, with people putting money into 401k with matching contributions. So a 6% withdrawal rate in the year 2000 was certainly considered reasonable, because you could have got over 6 and close to 7% in treasuries, and you could have probably got more than that in, let's say, corporate bonds. But here's the problem. In the year 2000, you take out your 6%, which is $120,000. However, the market was down 9.1% that year. So after taking out your $120,000 plus the downturn in the market, your $2 million is now worth about $1.7 million. Fast forward one more year, the year 2001. The market's down 11.9%. You take out your $120,000. Now at the end of the year, you're down to about $1,376,000. 2002, the market is down 22.1%. You take out your $120,000. Now you're down to $951,000. Then in the years 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006 and 7, the market goes up. So with your withdrawals of $120,000, by the end of 2007, you're back up to $1,023,000. The problem is, basically by 2008, the market drops 37%. So you take out your $120,000, the 30% drop in the market. By the end of 2008, you're down to $524,000. And that's what hit a lot of people. And remember, the market went down in part of 2009 as well, because from the peak in September of 2007, the S&P lost 60%. Now, let's suppose you were a little bit more conservative and you said, okay, I want to take 6%. That's what you start out, but I'm only going to take 6% of the balance of my portfolio each year. So you start out at 120, but the portfolio goes down. So the next year, your withdrawal is $101,000. Long story short, by 2008, you are taking out $40,000 less income because your account has dropped each year and you've not made that 6%. And you end up after 8 years with $794,000 instead of just $500,000. But Chris, you can see in that example, this is happening to a lot of people. It happened to them in the 00 decade. The difference was the last decade, because from 2010 to 2020, the markets went up every single year. So people went back to withdrawing from their capital every single year, and they can get away with that because the market was going up double digits. But what if you get into a period like the 1970s, or for example, like the 2000 decade, where the markets don't go up each year? In fact, the stock market would not recover and exceed its former peak until 2013. So we went 13 years with basically zero return in the market, not to mention the fact that we went from 6% and 7% returns all the way down to 0.5% on a 10-year treasury. So not only were you seeing declining markets and assets, you were also seeing declining income because interest rates fell.
Yeah, Jim, that was really something interesting that we recently discussed with Ed Easterling at Crestmont Research. He develops the Crestmont PE ratio, which is widely watched by many strategists when it comes to market valuations. That is, how overvalued or undervalued is the current market. And when it comes to the S&P 500, it is still well in overvalued territory, according to his Crestmont PE ratio. And we discussed that in the context of what typically happens in the years following a period of major overvaluation and then a popping of the bubble, essentially, like we saw again in 2000 and again in the post-2020 COVID tech bubble 2.0, right? Where we saw Tesla, for example, get over 1,000 PE, its price was trading 1,000 times its earnings. And we saw that in a number of different tech stocks at the time. That bubble has popped. They've come back down. But the major U.S. indices still have such a large weighting towards tech that it's likely, just even from a weighting perspective, that those indices, if you're passively managed, and this is something that we discussed, it could see a period of underperformance.
And I want to give two examples that drive home this point. Let's suppose that you bought a $100,000 10-year treasury, say, which, you know, if I take a look at a treasury, it's about 3.5%. So you're getting 3.5% now. 10 years forward, you're still going to be getting 3.5% because it doesn't go up. It's fixed. But here's the thing that people don't realize, because it's not just the fact that you're still getting the same 3.5% 10 years from now. But the other factor you take into consideration is, what will be the purchasing power of that $100,000 bond when it comes due? Well, I did an example, and I took the CPI in 2013. It was at 229. Fast forward to the end of 2022, the CPI was at 297. So the inflation index went up, the CPI went up at 2.82% per year. And remember, we were in a low inflationary environment during that period of time. What that translates into is, when your $100,000 bond comes due 10 years from now, its purchasing power will only be $75,000. So it's lost, due to inflation, the ability to buy the same goods and services. Now, what I did is I took various inflation rates. I took a 3, 4, 5, and 6% inflation rate. And I go, what will you need in income to keep the same purchasing power with those levels of inflation? And I took a look at it over a 10-year period and a 20-year period. So for example, if you start taking $100,000 out a year, 10 years from now with a 3% inflation rate, you're going to need $134,000 to buy the same goods and services, and $180,000 to buy the same goods and services 20 years from now. Take a 4% inflation, it gets worse. $148,000 in 10 years. At a 5% inflation rate, you'll need $163,000. And at a 6% inflation rate, $179,000. And then over 20 years, you'll go from 100,000 to basically 180,000 at a 3% inflation rate, all the way to 320,000 at a 6% inflation rate. And so, you know, it's my contention, Chris, that the inflation rate, the balance of this decade, is more likely to be higher than the 2.8% that we experienced in the last 10 years. It's more likely going to be in that, probably, I would say, the 4-5% inflation rate. So 10 years from now, you're going to need 148 or 163,000 to buy the same goods and services.
Can you tell us about how you've structured this current portfolio that you've set up through Financial Sense Wealth Management to help longer-term investors that need yield and that need dividends and are obviously taking into consideration some of the concerns that we expressed today?
Well, I'm going to give you an example. And there's a concept that I want you to think about. It's called YOOC, and that's the yield on original capital. So in the case of the bond, you buy a $100,000 bond and you're getting 3.5%. Your yield on that capital 10 years from now is still going to be 3.5%. So what I did is I took a look at dividend type stocks that we own, drug stocks, consumer staple stocks, oil stocks, et cetera. And I'll give you an example. Like, this is a drug stock. Its dividend yield is 3.8%. It's been growing its dividends at 9.2%. So if you look at a 3.8% yield now, let's just round it off to 4%, and that's growing and going up each year by 9%. 10 years from now, your yield on your original 100,000 will be 12.9% versus, let's say, the 3.5% on treasuries. And then you might say, well, you know, what happens to my capital if I'm taking out the income as you would with a bond? What would happen to the value of your capital? And the difference is it would be roughly, it would grow from 100 to the share price would have grown by 16% a year. And that's assuming you were taking the dividends out. Likewise, I took a look at a consumer products company, 2.5% yield going up each year at 7%. Your yield 10 years from now would be 4.9%. I took a look at a big oil company. Its yield right now is 3.2. It's been growing at 6%, although they just increased it 10% for 2023. Your yield on your investment would be 7.8%. I took another consumer products company that has a higher yield. Its yield would be 17%. And then I took a large beverage company. Its yield would go from 3% to 4.6%. So you've got something that can keep level with inflation. So if you have $100,000 of income that you're spending money on, then you know with these dividend increases, you can keep and afford a higher living. As I gave those examples, with a 3% inflation rate, you'll need $134,000 10 years from now. And at a 6% inflation rate, you'll need $179,000. So if you look at these dividends that average 3-4% that are going up 6-10% a year, Chris, you have a predictable income stream that is going to enable you to weather inflation. Because what happens to most people that retire, there's three phases in your retirement. The first phase is the go-go years. You retire, you're going to go take the trips, hobbies, play golf, do the things that you didn't have time to do during your working career. And that lasts about age 75. At age 75, you enter the second phase of what we call the go slow years. Maybe you're not taking as many trips. Maybe you're not as active. You're still active, but not as much as you were when you're in your 60s. And then the final phase of your retirement, the no-go years, from age 85, where you're more stationary, you could be needing assisted care, you know, all of the things that happen to you medically. Well, we know it's going to take more and more income to support that lifestyle. And one of the reasons I like blue chip dividend paying stocks, Chris, because I have a greater level of certainty and predictability of what your income is going to be. I can't predict it. I don't know what the S&P is going to be at the end of the year, 5 years from now or 10 years from now. But let's say, I don't know, I own a stock like Coca-Cola. I have a high degree of confidence what your dividend is going to be today and what it's going to be at the end of the year. So that's why I like dividend paying stocks, because they're more predictable. I can't, you know, I'm not good at predicting where the market is, and I've yet to find few people that are good at predicting where the market's going to be, let's say 5-10 years from now. So that's the thing that, you know, I think is really important. And that's why I like to use high blue chip dividend stocks, companies that are in the Dow, the top large cap companies in the S&P, companies that you don't worry about, that make a product, they dominate their field, they're established, they have strong balance sheets, they have a history of raising their dividends every single year. That gives me more certainty and more predictability when I'm doing, let's say, a retirement plan for somebody. And Chris, it could get even better. You might say, well, I'm not retired, I'm in my 50s. I mean, you take that same example. If you're reinvesting your dividends, you don't need it right now. That company I told you, the drug company paying 4%, growing at 9% a year, your $100,000 would be worth $340,000 10 years from now if you reinvested the dividends. The other consumer company, $100,000 grew to $445,000 reinvestment. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, gosh, if you're planning for retirement and you're in your working careers, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing this in your 50s, but you don't need the income right now. Just reinvest the dividends and have that income compound for you. You're going to have a much larger retirement that is going to be 3 to 4 times the size. Because imagine, Chris, that, you know, you started putting money heavily aside in the year 2000 and you were going to retire in 2010. The market went nowhere during that decade. And it wouldn't be until 2013 when you broke even. And so, you know, a lot of people got hit with drawdowns. I mean, think of what happened to people last year when the NASDAQ was down 33%, the S&P was down 20, and a lot of these stocks were down even more. If you take a look at some of the large cap tech stocks, some of these companies lost 40 and 50%. So that's why I think, Chris, that this industry that we're in, we tell people and we're giving people bad advice. We're saying, oh, flip the 60-40, go 60% in fixed income. And as I just demonstrated with a 3% to 6% inflation rate, what will that $100,000 buy you 10 or 20 years from now? Or flip it the other way, how much more income will you need than the $100,000 you're spending today 10 and 20 years from now? And the only way that I know that gives a degree of certainty, because nobody can predict what the future is going to be, but I have more confidence in taking a look at, let's say, I don't know, a stock like Coca-Cola that has paid dividends and increased them every single year for 70 years. It's one of the reasons why Warren Buffett has held on to that stock. I think he invested about $800 million in it originally, and today it's worth about $11 billion. So it made Buffett a very wealthy man applying the same principle. And I think the same principle needs to be applied in retirement if you do not want to outlive your assets.
Well, you know, as they say, you need to hear something about 6 or 7 times before you actually make a change. And this is a point that we've been discussing now, probably 10 or 20 times over the past couple of years in looking at a higher than average inflationary environment for the decade ahead. Obviously, that came true after we made that warning in 2020. And also discussing how you need to prepare and navigate for a potential lost decade, similar to that 1966 to 1982 time period, where you're working off from very high valuations, as we saw at the peak of the stock market in 2021. So it's going to be very likely, we believe, a more turbulent, more active investment type of market that you want to be in. And dividends are going to be a place where you want to be drawing a larger source of your total return. And we have identified those companies that have been raising their dividends and have a good moat that we believe will continue to do so in the future. So if you would like to get in touch with our financial planners, our wealth managers, to talk about how we can assist you with any of your financial planning needs or with asset management, feel free to give us a call at 888-486-3000. 888-486-3939. Once again, that's 888-486-3939. And once again, Financial Sense Wealth Management, we've been in business for over 30 years, and we have been named as one of the top investment advisory firms in the U.S. by the Financial Times. Give us a call again at 888-486-3939, or you can also go to our website, financialsense.com, and hit where it says contact us.
In the meantime, we'd like to thank you for listening. Have yourself a great week ahead.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.